envisioning and leading the Yellow Ribbon Task Force and all of the components from it that are now being modeled around the rest of the country, and they continue to identify additional opportunities to support and encourage the men and women in the military. And I am very grateful to both of you, and I know our state is very grateful to both of you for the leadership that you have provided on this and many other matters. Today we're announcing one additional piece of this, which I think will be helpful. And I want to say at the onset, while this the services that we'll be describing will be positioned in armories around Minnesota during training times for our National Guard, these services are available to all active reserve components and other members of the military as well. Certainly there's a near-term need with the returning brigade and the 2600 from the 1st Brigade Combat Team, but these services are not limited to those individuals. We welcome the opportunity to serve other members of the military as part of this initiative as well. And the announcement this morning is that that TRICARE, with really its own resources, has agreed and identified Minnesota as a place where they want to deploy a pilot project for behavioral health services for the men and women in our military. And they've done this in part because of the recognition of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Task Force. I think they've been impressed with the focus and effectiveness of that task force and the services and ideas that are flowing from it. And so TRICARE has stepped forward and said we'd like to demonstrate and try a pilot project in Minnesota that will work with their providers and the Minnesota provider community, which we're very grateful for as well, to provide behavioral health services or make it available in the armories listed in the press release around Minnesota. And so this, as you can imagine, when you are deployed for a year, year and a half, 2 years, or in some cases even longer, puts enormous strains on families. It puts enormous strains on individuals. Lots of issues come up that people may need some help with or some encouragement with. And we want to make sure that the full continuum of services are available to the members of the military. And this provides an enhanced and additional service in a local areas that in a way that we hope is user-friendly and impactful for them. And we think it'll be a good step to continue to support the men and women of our military after they come home. So I'd like Scott to come forward and share his thoughts about this. He'll be followed by the general and the chaplain, and then we'll take your questions. Scott.
Well, it is a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you for the invitation, Governor. And I do represent TriWest Healthcare Alliance. We are contracted with the Defense Department to deliver health care in 21 western states, from Minnesota to Texas to Hawaii to Alaska, in a very wide-ranging area with a lot of disparity, a lot of differences between those respective states. And in each one of them, we have sought to partner with the leadership to ensure that the service members of those states are getting the care that they need, often as it is identified and requested by their leadership. And in this case, we are very pleased to have had the partnership with Governor Shelato and Chaplain Morris and
General.
Sorry, sir. I'm sorry. And Governor Pawlenty to identify what the needs are, as they have been very aggressive about determining what returning service members require in order to readjust and become part of the community again. And in this instance, it was observed and requested that we try the test out the prospect of actually having providers available to be part of the reintegration process and make them available on a daily basis as training sessions are taking place and return reintegration sessions are occurring, to be available, to be part of the unit, be associated with it, be familiar with the training regime and the challenges that units have experienced and some of the experiences that families are going through, and provide the kind of care that that they see on a daily basis is required of these units and these Guard members and their families. So we're pleased to participate in doing that. We also, as the Governor just observed, are grateful for the provider community in the state of Minnesota, how they have stepped up and they have met the challenge. It is not possible to meet the needs, the very divergent needs of these families, without having a very wide net or umbrella to cover them in all the communities that they return to and all the different needs that they have. And 2 years ago, when this deployment began, there were just over 900 providers in the state of Minnesota signed up for the TRICARE program. Today there are just over 5,000 of them, and they are individuals who have responded to the call in their communities to use their healthcare expertise to deliver care to those who have put on the uniform and gone and served this country and this state in this war on terror. So we are very grateful to them, and as we work alongside Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota in meeting their needs and bringing them into the program, we are grateful to each one of them for stepping up and joining the network as well.
Thanks, Scott.
General? On behalf of the National Guard, I just want to thank TriWest for stepping forward in this critical component of the reintegration process. I got to give most of the credit to Chaplain Morris, who's been a major architect and the front lines, if you will, in working with the multitude of the Governor's Task Force on reintegration for our soldiers and airmen. The value of this program, I think that's most critical, and I think will serve as a national model, is the ability to take these counselors and embed them into the units and establish what the literature often states is the most critical component in working with a counselor, and that is a bond of trust. And by being there and being involved and being someone they know and have seen before, we hope to advance the process and open the communications to a new level. So, TriWest, thank you for taking the leadership. It's greatly appreciated. And hopefully the research that we complete with this will make it truly a national model. Thank you. Chaplain Morris.
Governor, General Scott, thank you for the tremendous leadership that each of you have provided for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and our Marines who are returning from war and their families. What we have, ladies and gentlemen, in this unique partnership is a national leading effort to join community and the military in what we all want, and that is to bring our families and our soldiers all the way home after combat. And what we're going to do here in this great partnership with TriWest and these three wonderful community-based mental health agencies is we're going to add one more level of care to the tremendous goodwill of Minnesota towards its military personnel and their families. And we're going to put feet to good intentions so that the small minority of soldiers and families that struggle mightily after combat will have another avenue of access to great behavioral mental health care. The vast majority of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines come home from war and do very, very well in readjusting and actually catapulting ahead of their peers in becoming productive citizens. But not all. And this provides hope and comfort and care to that small minority in these parts of the state where these health care providers will be. So, again, I want to thank TriWest. You're stepping forward with your own resources to do a good thing for the citizens of Minnesota, and we appreciate that. Governor, your passionate leadership and care, along with your wife for our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen and Marines, has been tremendous and a great source of hope for us and comfort. In general, thanks for being courageous and putting this as an initiative when nobody else in the nation was thinking about it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the goodwill of Minnesota, and thank you for this tremendous partnership.
Two other just real quick things. One is, you will recall we had a press conference, it feels like a year ago, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but the TRICARE, of course, is the name for the program that the Department of Defense uses for military health care insurance. The participation rate by providers had been pretty low and uneven across Minnesota, and through some great work of General Shelato and his team and the chaplain, they were able to persuade and convince many more providers to participate broadly in healthcare delivery to the members of the military, and that was very much appreciated. So we've been able to get our participation rates up. But the other thing I would ask is, if you look at page 2 of the release, there's a reference to the Veterans Link Vet, the Link Vet number. It's kind of the one-stop shopping 1-888 number for information regarding veterans programs and services. We announced that, I think, on or near the day of the bridge collapse, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle. I just want to point out to you that that's a helpful place of information and contact for veterans to use by calling that number 1-888-LINK-VET, which is the number is listed there. So I just would remind you that that's available, and hopefully you might think about referencing that in ways that would be getting it out to the men and women in the military who need it and are more likely to use it. So with that, we'll be happy to take your questions about this.
More limited basis, with some units in California, we began doing this some time ago, but have not in any other state on the comprehensive in the comprehensive way that it will be undertaken here.
What's the cost of putting these facilities in the Army?
I can't tell you. I mean, I'd be happy to share with you if I knew. I don't. A lot of it depends on usage, on the hours that we get billed for services that are delivered. So, as individuals go out and do it, I think their, you know, estimates going in probably in some portion of $1 million, but it'll depend on how many hours are utilized and billed, and how many providers and how many locations they are, and that sort of thing. Yes, and that probably be assisted by you as well. But their schedule is to be there when the troops are there, and that generally is a weekend training session. The troops generally are not at armories on a daily basis. The intention is to have them there and available when the drill weekends are occurring. So whenever those occur, whenever they are gathered together for their other official duties, the counselors will be in attendance as well.
There's been a lot of criticism from congressional delegation about the VA hospital system dropping the ball in terms of mental health care and treatment. Does this fill a gap in a sense?
I think, as was observed earlier, and I may yield the general about this as well, this is the care that is delivered to these individuals is a collective enterprise by all those who are interested in them and care about them. VA has certain areas and responsibilities. We have areas and responsibilities. The leadership and the command structure does. What is important and what has been so successful in our observation, and I will share again that we do this work in 21 states, and the groundbreaking trailblazing approach that has occurred in Minnesota is now being shared in other places. But you need to have all those agencies cooperating together and working together to make sure someone does not fall through the cracks. And it is a unique conflict that we are in. It is a unique soldier, sailor, airman today who, unlike past conflicts, when a serious injury would have taken you out of service and you would have been medically retired, we now have these young, talented heroes that want nothing more than to get back into the fray, to get back with their units. And that's an incredible thing for them. We have the privilege of working alongside some of these individuals that are among the first amputees to ever return to combat, things like that. But it has created some challenges on a system that is used to moving people only in one direction and not of getting them out, getting them services, getting them rehabilitation, and bringing them back into uniform and into service. And that's where this collective effort of everybody keeping an eye on these wounded warrior heroes is so important. And, again, I would offer that Minnesota is certainly taking the lead in making sure that they are being watched carefully and they're getting to where they need to find care. That may not respond to the VA question. I'm not really in a position to do that. I don't think we are, but it does involve everybody in this equation to deliver success.
Chaplain Morris, what types of services were available to soldiers prior to this? Is this something that's entirely new, or were there some systems in place already at armories?
The answer is yes, there were systems in place, and I'll give you several examples. The VA is one system. We're a big geographic area in Minnesota, largely rural, so traveling to those services is a challenge. We have Military OneSource, which for better or worse in terms of a term, I'll use the words Employee Assistance Program. We're given an 800 number. We reach a call center. They connect us to counselors in our area. very good service, heavily used by members of the military returning from combat and their family, but also not always available in every geographic area. Then we have TriWest providing TRICARE insurance. We could apply that insurance to those who were providers who took TRICARE. And as the governor pointed out, not everybody as recently as 2 years ago in Minnesota was a TRICARE provider. So what this does is this pulls all those systems together. It puts three community-based mental health agencies online that are TRICARE providers. It puts them into rural areas where we have a lot of soldiers, and it connects us to the VA system because these community centers, we have trained them alongside of the VA so the two systems work together. And we have Military OneSource also as an option for soldiers. So we're giving plenty of options to combat veterans coming back to Minnesota, and we're giving those options locally, and that's a beautiful thing. No, because they've got it covered through their TriWest insurance. And what Scott didn't mention in addressing your question, sir, is not only will these providers be available on a drill weekend, but when families have a family readiness group, the providers can come to the group, teach a class. We've already had these providers at our reintegration events that are held here in the Twin Cities and Moorhead. We've also already had them training with our full-time staff, so the full-time staff knows what's available, who's available, and how to connect soldiers. So they're already in the field making connection with our soldiers and their families.
How are these armories selected, and is it possible to expand elsewhere in the state?
I'll speak to the selection. I'll let Scott and the general speak to expansion. This is a pilot program. We looked at our units that we meaning our surgeon in Iraq and our psychologist that was with the brigade combat team and the combat team's leadership, and said which of these units was under the most duress, had the most casualties, the most killed in action. And they reported back from the battlefield units that were in these geographic areas. We found these community mental health partners who were more than willing to help us. And TriWest stepped up and said, okay, we'll meet that need with our resources in that area. Scott, I'll let you speak in the general to expansion.
Just as Chaplain Morris indicated, this was actually a discussion product. It goes back to the spring when the governor actually sent a request to us asking us to consider doing a variety of things. The objective of those was to make sure that in the places where soldiers and their families were going to be, we had ready access to behavioral health. So we went to work then with the Guard personnel team to figure out where those returning individuals were going to be and how close we had facilities that we could get into our network that could deliver care. So that's how the network or the access has been developed at this point. As indicated, it's a pilot, so we are will be in an evaluation stage to see if there's enough work or enough need for those that are out there today, or if there is greater need further from where these current armories are, and figure out how we can get people to that care. I mean, that's good.
Okay, Eric, good question. Your question is what we hope will happen. We hope we destigmatize asking for help. And we hope by providing a familiar face from a local community, we not only destigmatize seeking help, but we also make help that much more accessible because people are comfortable with somebody in their own community versus driving to the Twin Cities, Fargo, St. Cloud, Duluth, where there's a VA facility. Now, I will say that our soldiers are accessing the VA all over the state, so whatever barriers seem to have been in the past, those seem to have been lowered in a great way. And I think the military today, and certainly the Minnesota Guard, but all components here in Minnesota, pretty enlightened about the needs of soldiers in behavioral mental health, and our leadership pushes a message down consistently that there's no harm, no foul in seeking help, raising your hand. Sure. Biggest issue that we have for those who are married are marital problems. 22 months of separation doesn't enhance most relationships. So single biggest issue, married soldiers, their marriage relationship followed by parenting issues. Nothing in the Army arsenal to train you to be married or train you to be a parent. The flip side of that, for my young single soldiers, we see a lot of depression. Not too hard to understand. You've just been to the Super Bowl, quote unquote. You've done the biggest thing that you may do in your whole life, and you come home and you're in a different place than your peers. They've moved ahead. They've been to the mall while you've been to war, and you are stuck in time, so to speak, and need to catch up. Your unit's moved about to all the different cities and counties they're from, and you're alone. And it's a profound sense of loneliness and alienation that many of us face. Most of us work through that very, very well, get back to school and get back to work, but not all. And so we see that depression. Those are the most common things we see. We see some chemical abuse by some of our soldiers, small minority, but it happens across the country, followed by motor vehicle issues. And the leading cause of death across the nation is motorcycle accidents for soldiers. So addressing those kind of, that need for speed, that need to fill the adrenaline rush of combat with something else. So those are things that we've trained these behavioral mental health professionals to look for and apply their skills towards.
I mean, we have time for just one or two more questions.
Anything else on this?
The gap that I see is one that the governor helped us try to address, and that is jobs for soldiers. I believe, Governor, you invited 500 Minnesota companies to come to job fairs that we've held for our soldiers. We had good turnout, but not great turnout from Minnesota companies. We'd love to have more, because coming home after 22 months, you can imagine many, many of our soldiers are looking for jobs, and many of their families as well, due to the duress of this deployment. So asking for the business community to step up and hire our veterans is a big, big need.
Anything else? All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Carl.